curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Welcome, everyone, to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm here with Ron Kitchens. Ron, it has been an exciting day here at Southwest Michigan First. Do you want to tell the listening audience why we're pretty jazzed today?
It is a big day. Although my book doesn't come out, my book, Uniquely You, doesn't come out until May 21st. It arrived today. The advance copies that we have all arrived today on a truck. And so the 50 cases showed up, and we have a whole lot more than that, but those are the ones at the office, and it's very exciting, very scary. I have a great friend, Jonathan Merritt, who is a very accomplished writer, and so when we posted the picture of it, I tagged him in it so he'd see that they just came out, and he asked, "How do you feel?" I thought, "How do I feel? I feel scared." It's really hard because every author warns me, and you know, this isn't my first book, but I haven't written one since the internet was so vicious. And every author tells me, you know, get ready for the trolls. The first reviews you're going to get are all haters who are just jealous. And so, you know, I'm ready for that. By the way, there are two mistakes we found in the book and two spelling errors. So please don't call and tell me that you found them. If you do see them, we know. And we want everybody to be happy, and some people aren't happy unless they can find a mistake. So we put those in there.
You know, Ron, I hadn't really thought about how scary that would be. The whole time you were writing the book, I really thought about how hard not only you were working, but just how scary it must be to have that pressure of meeting deadlines on something that you're putting your heart and soul. It's really your stories in the book and how that shaped your leadership. But I guess I hadn't really thought about how scary it would be once it's here, because then people can review it.
Yeah, and everybody gets an opinion. And I had two advanced readers who, you know, have already said, "Oh, I didn't really like that story." Well, yeah, okay, but it's still true, you know.
And it's in the book, published.
It's in there. Yeah, it's there. So I hope people love it. I hope it has huge impact on their lives. That's why I wrote it. There's a lot of other books I could have written, but those weren't the stories that none of my soul is telling me. And they weren't the answers to the questions we were being asked a lot on this podcast and on other, you know, whether it's the blog or the other things we do. So hopefully it will soon be in the wind and, you know, as they say, available on Amazon, wherever books are sold in digital format, print format. And let's see, audiobooks on Audible, as well as you can even still get DVDs of it. So it's going to be a fun season.
Well, I have to say that I have had a chance to read the book, and it was very good. And I just really encourage that the members of this listening audience that have enjoyed listening to your stories and have learned from your stories and follow you, this is a good book. And if everybody could just join in and kind of support your effort and just buy a book, share a book, send a book to a friend. That would be awesome.
Don't share it. Give a book away. Do not share it. It's not the library. Make people buy copies. We really need it. And should point out, all proceeds go back to our charitable mission at Southwest Michigan First. And that's our belief that the greatest force for change is a job. So, you know, you're not only, you know, buying a book and hopefully learning from it, but proceeds go to do really good things to change people's lives.
Absolutely. So that was an exciting part of the day today, but we're going to dive into a conversation, Ron, that you and I have been kind of talking about recently, and our team has certainly experienced this over the course of, you know, several times during the year, you just kind of hit moments. And as a team, we've talked about those, what we're calling inflection points, and you'll hear more about that word inflection from Southwest Michigan First here soon, but teams in a rut, it happens. And I know you talked about this a little bit as one of the questions in the back of the book, because we get this question all of the time.
A lot. From every industry, from every age group, from, doesn't matter if it's a new entrepreneurial company or it's a company we're coaching that's 80 years. We have a company that literally is 80 years old and they are slightly in panic mode because progress has slowed. And it is something that everyone deals with.
And it's especially hard because sometimes when we talk about this, it's coming in a season of you've just experienced abundance. I know for our team, there's been times where we've launched something that has taken off really, really well and has been a huge success. But for whatever reason, after the success of that event, it's almost like a little bit of a hangover. Like your team can just feel in a rut and not know what to do. And I know you have some feedback for the team, not only on things that you've shared with our team on why this happens and how to start doing this from some research that you've had from the Harvard Business Review, but also you've kind of came up with what we call LEAP. And I know you're going to talk about that in a minute, but will you share the Harvard Business Review just insights and why you know that the team needs to be kind of catapulted out of the rut sometimes?
Yeah, and sometimes the rut is really comes as an emotional letdown. Not so much that business isn't good, is that it's that runners tell me, I have never experienced this, nor do I ever believe I will. There's a runner's high when you're really out there doing it. But then when you get to cross the finish line, there's an immediate crash. You see these people that are charging through the finish line, and you look around and 30 seconds later, they're on the ground. And that happens metaphorically to organizations all the time. So we were getting called in this with people in panic mode that didn't know if this was the new norm or if this was a season. And so as we would do research and work with teams on what that looked like, you know, I think we gained or gleaned from the Harvard Business Review's kind of work on this. You know, the first thing you do is you got to diagnose why. Is this a systematic change? Or is this just people resting a little bit, about getting their legs under them? And it's a bit like if you wait too long, you're stiff when you start to run again. And our lives feel a bit like that. So our organization. So, you know, for us, we're keen believers in bringing in different points of view to get fresh eyes and opinions. That really is important, whether you call it a management coach. You know, we've got a group coming up, a consulting group that we do a ton of work with, both helping back and forth, doing business together, coming up, sending a couple of their team members because they're a little stuck. And so they're going to come up and give us fresh eyes to what we're doing, but they're also using it to elevate them out of their rut. So this, it really is mutual and goes back and forth, but you can have people help you with that. You got to figure out what your fear is. There's sometimes your fear is, I don't want to ever do that again. You know, you go through seasons in the organization and you go, I don't ever want to do that. And so I'm going to stay here in place and procrastinate making decisions so I don't have to put myself back in that situation. So you've got to understand what your fear is. Or is the fear of that, man, we were wildly successful and I don't know if we can do that again. And, you know, I just heard a great interview with the Golden State Warriors, the first five for the Golden State Warriors, which are maybe the most amazing group of five basketball players that have ever been put together. And they were talking about this idea that they never start a new season with this idea that they've got to keep the championship trophy. Once they get it in their mind, it's gone. You have it for a week. It's in a trophy case. You've got to go re-earn that every day. And if you don't have the passion to re-earn it, if you're fighting out of fear that you're going to lose something, you have already lost. And that was a great analogy to where we are get as teams sometimes. We have fear of failure instead of having energy around success. You know, and then you have to look for different ways of attacking it. So for us, a lot of times, it's then talking through why did what we do work or why? What were the good things? Now, how could we do it better? What's that pivot look like? And Harvard tells us that you've got to not only gather new ideas, but for it to work to get your team out of the rut, you got to act on some of them. You don't have to act on all of them, but act on something of them, because simply the act of emotion creates emotion that then lifts you up and propels you back into the game, if you will. And I couldn't agree more with the Business Review's findings. But, you know, in also this idea that then you've got to internalize and create a process that works for your team.
So you did that and you created a process that Southwest Michigan First and the other companies under that umbrella have used. And it's really a system that helps to jumpstart that momentum. So when teams experience a rut, it's hard to get out of the box, so to speak. And you created what we call LEAP, and that stands for laugh, exercise, art, and praise. And I'm going to just start with laugh. And I think it's important to say that when you have defined LEAP, you not only have said to do this as a team, but also you can do this as an individual. So sometimes you're in your own personal rut and your team may be aware of it. They may not be aware of it, but you may know you're not yourself. And LEAP also works for those individuals, not only just teams. But let's start with laugh. Dive in, Ron. Why is laugh the way that we're starting?
You know, so laugh is, you know, everybody's heard the cliche. There's a reason things are cliche. It's because they're true. So cliche is laughter is the best medicine. But we know from brain chemistry that laughing changes your brain. We know it releases endorphins that then create a sense of bliss that rise up and create a sense of opportunity and expectation. So if you can get a team laughing together, and you don't have to go to a comedy club, you literally can do it simply by being in a situation where people are telling funny stories about themselves. You know, every organization has their own rhythm, but you've got to find a way to laugh together. And we've done things like, you know, gone and watch Elf together, even though I hate that movie. I'm sorry, everybody loves it. You know, everybody knows that it drives me crazy.
I don't know how that is one of the greatest movies ever.
I know, but yeah, you know, it's true that the movie that I hate the second most is The Ballad of Ricky Bobby. So, you know, I just can't. We've just lost all kinds of listeners. But you got to be able to laugh together and share those things. You know, and then comes exercise. So you got to get moving. I mean, there's a reason Jabba the Hutt was unhappy. He never moved anywhere. He just sat there as a big giant blob. And, you know, organizationally, we can do that. And that doesn't mean we all got to go run a marathon, but we've been known to change up where people's desks are. We've been known to change environments. So it isn't just your physical moving. It's change the environment of where you are. If you feel people are in a rut, move it up, shake it up, announce that, you know, for the next 2 weeks, you cannot sit in the same place every day. You got to sit in a different desk. We're all on Wi-Fi and we're all using our cell phones. It's not a big deal, but it creates new energy and it creates opportunities, and you're bouncing up against different frictions, which then sharpen your saw even more.
I know one of the ways that we did laugh and exercise together was the Minute to Win It games last year. We had a Minute to Win It competition. And if you want to see your team laugh, put an Oreo on their head and have them get that puppy to their mouth. That was really funny.
That was the only one I mastered of that whole thing. You know, the food things, food challenges, I'm pretty good at.
It's Kitchens as your last name.
That's right. You got to be good at food.
You got to be good at food. You got to be good at food.
Yeah.
So LEAP, we have laugh, we have exercise, we're at art. Can you dive into art, what you mean by incorporating art into this?
So if you interview a whole group of people, challenge people, do it in your offices and say, are you creative? The vast majority of them will say no. Now, I don't know why they do, because clearly they're creative. Ask them. The first time it's 80 degrees or 75 degrees and sunny after a hard winter, and hear the creative excuses they give you why they can't come to work that day. These are creative people, but they're creative in different ways. They're not fine artists. They're not songwriters. So give them a way to express visually, whether it's pretty or not, as a team. And so sometimes that's, we did an exercise the other day for Catalyst University. Now, the six or eight of us that are primarily responsible for that could have done this by ourselves, but the team was feeling a little clunky. So we put everybody in the room at a brown bag lunch and said, let's get creative on the ways that we could enhance the event. And we came up with must be 20 great big sticky, you know, pages, easel pages of ideas that we can do. And people were laughing and they were engaged. And then those ideas went up on the walls in the kitchen. And people are adding to those. And it's become a creative process for us to get better. And there's some of those ideas we wouldn't have come up with. And so You don't have to create fine pieces of art, although we do do that. Every year or so, we'll go to a glass maker. We went to a blacksmith shop once, and we'll all get in and make glass together and make fire pokers or lots of different things that we've done. We do that too, but it doesn't have to be an outward bound experience. It can simply mean just challenging people to think differently.
And lastly, in the LEAP exercises, praise, and this is one of my personal favorites, but part of it is not just why you do it, but also how you have facilitated it for our team. So can you tell the listening audience a little bit about that praise piece and how you personally have kind of taken the leadership of making sure that praise is a part of that practice?
Yeah, so we believe in regular, and Gallup tells us that the best organizations get regular, individualized praise on a weekly or every 10-day basis. So we have what we call catellations, where members of the team write each other notes. We read them publicly. Most organizations don't do the public reading of them. We think it everybody else needs to know how awesome you think that person is and you're thanking them. But it's also important as senior leaders or point leaders of the organization that we take the time to publicly acknowledge everyone on the team. Because sometimes it isn't that your colleague forgets how awesome you are. You forget how awesome you are. You begin to think it's easy for you to do. It's easy for everyone. So you devalue it. So it's important that members of your team, leadership, acknowledge that thing that you think's easy that the rest of us can do. We can't do it. And here's why. What you do is amazing, and how it impacts the organization and it helps all of us succeed. Because people need to be reminded that they are amazing. I mean, Clark Kent didn't really have to take off the business suit to fly as Superman. But by taking that business suit off and just having the Superman outfit on, he reminded himself that he was a hero. But we don't have that in our own lives. We don't have that suit that we can throw off in the phone booth. Heck, we don't even have phone booths. But we don't have that to remind ourselves that we're superheroes. So we need other people to remind us that we, in fact, are wearing the costume of greatness.
And I think at Southwest Michigan First, you have led this really well on multiple occasions where you have went around the circle and personally given praise to each person on the team, which is such a powerful exercise. And I know we are fortunate in a lot of ways that we're small enough that you can do that because you personally know each one of us and what we do on the team. And we have the time to be able to do that. But what a powerful thing.
But we make that time. And there are 30 of us on this team. And there are very few people out there leading a team bigger than 30. And making the time to love each other is like that old saying of the guy in the woods who is sawing wood with a dull saw. Somebody walks by and says, you know, if you'd sharpen your saw, that you could cut more wood faster. You say, well, I can't do that. I've got to get this wood cut. Praise is sharpening the saw of everybody around you. And so don't let people use this, you know, we're too big, I don't know enough. You know, do for one what you wish you could do for all.
Yeah, so just to recap that, you know, quick way that our team has used LEAP as a practice of just jumpstarting the momentum. And LEAP again stands for laugh, exercise, art, and praise. Ron, do you have any other thoughts on teams in a rut before we close out today's podcast?
Yeah, I think, you know, somebody that you and I both follow, and for me, it's like a madman crush. For you, it's like a mad preacher crush, I guess we'll call that, is Stephen Furtick, who is this incredible speaker, thought leader, preacher. Even if your faith journey doesn't take you in that direction, you can learn from people who are thoughtful. I don't know Gandhi's spiritual beliefs, but I know he's a man that I can learn from. Not that Stephen Furtick's Gandhi, but he's a pretty darn good speaker. And, you know, he has FROYO, and that's fear of running out. And he talks about this idea of teams getting stuck and vacillating because they're in fear that they may not come up with the next great idea, and they may not come up with, you know, the energy to deliver that, or the ability to write the next song, or the ability to do those things. Well, there really is that same rut. And so it's about, in his mind and beliefs and in his teachings, it's really about making sure that they understand that there was water in the well yesterday, there is water in the well today, and there will be water in the well tomorrow. It's your job to put yourself in a position with a bucket to harvest that water. And so don't let all of this kind of in a rut. You know, there's all kinds of books written about it. There's all of that. And there's motivational techniques. But the fact of the matter is, it's just human nature. And if you deal with it in its simplistic form, it's not a disease. It really is just simply a matter of laughing, exercising, getting the blood flow, creating great things, and loving on each other through praise. You do those four things right, and you make sure people have the resources they need to thrive, and you don't have to worry about the ruts anymore.
That's awesome. So that's a wrap on this week's podcast. I know we have an exciting topic coming up for next week, but we will wait till then to talk about it. So Ron, thank you again for being with us. I know, again, exciting day here at Southwest Michigan First, and we will catch the listening audience later. Thanks for listening to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast.
See you next week.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.